Hey everyone, I'm Mel Cheng and this is the She Dares podcast. She Dares is a community for women with daring mindsets that want to push themselves into different areas of their life with the help and support of others. On the podcast, we interview inspiring women who share their own personal stories of when they overcame fears and pushed themselves out of their comfort zone. Today, we're talking to Anna Spindler. I met Anna at work here in Austria. A few years ago, she left to pursue other opportunities, but we remained great friends. She now has her own screen printing business called Zimzala, and she also teaches screen printing at the fashion school in Vienna. We dive into how the business started, but also how she manages a work-life balance. Hey Anna, how's it going?
Hi.
Good.
It's good to see you, and you're in your studio.
Yes, I am.
You know She Dares, what it's all about. It's about stepping out of your comfort zone, and I just really wanted to hear a little bit about your story of when there was a time that you stepped out of your comfort zone.
I think the first time, or the biggest step out of my comfort zone, was when I made a decision out of love, basically, because I quit a pretty cool, safe job, one that I finally had the feeling that my work-life balance was all right. But my boyfriend, whom I've only known for a couple of months back then, he had to go to the UK for work. And I decided to come with him and support him in this decision. And that was actually a big step out of my comfort zone to leave something safe behind and go for the unknown. Mm-hmm. I was quite lucky actually because he had to move to the UK. I've never really seen much of the UK besides London and Bristol. But we happened to end up in Wales, in Cardiff, which is quite a cool place because it's really, there's a lot of nature around, a lot of natural parks and the ocean, of course. And since I'm a big lover of surfing and the ocean, it was actually a pretty good and happy time. And this was also for sure one of the main reasons where I am right now. Because in Cardiff or in the UK in general, there's a huge printing scene. And I was a graphic designer at the time, but I actually started studying textile design at fashion school. And then over the years, I kind of lost the analog world a bit and was really working in the digital field mostly. And during my time in the UK, I got back into printing, got back into a lot of different kinds of techniques. And there was also a pretty cool community place called The Print House. Shout out to the guys over there, actually. And this was something pretty unique because it was a huge workshop with different kinds of studios as well from different kinds of creatives. And everybody was super supportive. You could just go there and work on your own stuff, work together with other members, and I just really enjoyed being around other creatives, and everybody over there was really helping out and supporting. And that was quite cool because I have the feeling that in Austria, we don't have that supportive community. Like everybody's more or less doing his own stuff. And over there, everybody was open to talk about whatever problems they were facing. And it just felt easy to start your own business over there, actually.
That's pretty cool. Did you find yourself feeling a bit daunted? Like how did you find the community? Because I guess moving from a German speaking country, I mean, this is like your hometown, moving to the UK. Was there certain steps that you took in order to go and find that community? Like how did it kind of feel?
I am from Austria and I was mostly working and living in Austria, but I changed and moved quite a lot of times actually in Austria, and I would really call myself a kind of a job hopper because I had like different kinds of jobs and titles because I enjoy the unknown. I mean, it's exciting and daunting for sure, but it's also like an adventure, you know, and so it wasn't really super hard for me to just pack my things and go. Now, maybe if I think back, it was kind of a big decision, but at the time it just felt like I'm gonna move to live next to the ocean, so it felt the right thing to do.
When you mentioned starting up a business in the UK, I mean, that's quite a big step. So you moved to the UK for love, and then went to this community house. Amazing. You set up your business there, right? Can you explain now where you are? Because it sounds like almost a pivotal moment in your life.
Yeah, well, actually, at the time, I was lucky enough to be able to simply focus on my creative projects because I didn't have a fixed job. I was freelancing. It was just the right time to go there because I was old enough to use my time wisely, to not just like sit around on the beach, but rather really make the most out of it and try to evolve and try to like really do personal creative projects and learn new techniques. But I was also young enough to just like give it a go, you know. I didn't think too much about it. And I think the biggest moment, or the moment that kind of changed the feeling of having something on the side, you know, just for fun and trying it out, to actually saying that I have a business now, was when I found my workshop, my studio, because I immediately knew that this was the place where I wanted to set up the workshop. And from that time on, when I signed the contract, I had to pay a monthly rent. So I had to actually start earning something on a kind of regular basis. So that was when I realized, okay, now it's official. Now you have to make this work.
Did you ever have any doubts that you couldn't make it work?
For sure. Constantly. The main problem with people starting businesses is always money. You always have to make it work. You always have to have the feeling that you need to work more in order to be able to like live off from it. But you only have a certain amount of time, so at one point you can't just like keep on getting more contracts or start working more. So the good thing about me and my situation is for sure that I have still my fixed job, because after when I came back from the UK, I knew I had to have a regular job because I couldn't live from Simsala from the beginning. So I also knew I needed more time to be able to like really focus on working on my own. So I only wanted to work for 32 hours a week, so 4 days a week, which I did, and it was quite exhausting, to be honest, because I was then working 4 days a week as a graphic designer, and the rest of the week, like the 3 days, like the full weekend, I was working in my workshop. It was intense, but I also, sometimes, you know, if you're in that situation, you find yourself put into the situation, but you can't really tell how it all happened or when, and you just keep on going, basically. And that was what I did for a while. And then I changed my job again. Of course, it wouldn't be me. And I got the opportunity to work as a screen printing teacher in fashion school in Vienna, which was for sure also a big step out of my comfort zone. Because until then, I was working as a graphic designer, different job titles, of course, different companies. The work itself was more or less the same. But then teaching was something completely different. It's an adventure every single day, basically. So you never know what's going to happen. You never know what kind of stuff you end up doing during the day. And this was for sure one of the biggest steps out of my comfort zone as well, because it was a big change from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But a good one, you know. I think for me, like, teaching is amazing, because you actually have the possibility not only to, like, I don't see it as a transfer from my knowledge to others, but more as that you're there to inspire people, you know. You can actually show them stuff and then let them explore their point of view, and especially in the creative field, that's something totally unique and special. I'm kind of helping shaping the future, you know, because these people they have the ability to actually do something really cool.
Can you tell me a little, or tell the listeners a little bit more about Simsala and what it's about?
Simsala is a brand I created out of my love for the ocean and out of my love for the surf culture. And I do screen print t-shirts and sweaters and hoodies and all kind of accessories on sustainable fabrics only with sustainable screen printing color. And the motifs are all inspired by nature, the ocean. And this is kind of my creative relief, so to say, because I can do the designs and do the illustrations and then you can simply wear them.
What does Zimzala mean?
Zimzala is a word of taken out of old school surf language, and it's a person with a free mind that likes to sand between their toes. I just thought that's exactly me, so I thought it's the perfect name for a brand.
When it came to setting up the business and setting up the workshop and getting all the machinery and stuff like that, I mean, how did you have the skills or how did you have the knowledge to go and set up the business by yourself? Did you have mentors around you to help you do that? Because I think a lot of people find it quite daunting. They don't know how to set up a business, how to do their finances, machinery. Like, is there any legal aspects to things?
We're quite lucky in Austria because there is a lot of information and a lot of workshops, and they kind of encourage people to set up their own businesses. So I did a lot of workshops, a lot of online, offline events where people told me how to set up a business. I was also part of a creative coaching for half a year with like creatives from all different kinds of fields put together into a group. And then once a month we had a workshop where we helped to support each other as well and try to like grow a network. And this certainly helped as well. With the legal stuff, I think you just have to kind of know or have to be sure that you want to do it. And then it's basically just a couple of forms that you have to fill out. I think the harder part is to actually be sure that you want to do it. It's like to actually put everything, all the thoughts, the bad thoughts aside and just like go for it, you know.
Once you'd set up your business and you were still working like this full-time job and as you are teaching now, how do you maintain a good work-life balance?
I don't. I really don't. This is the one thing that I really have to learn better. But for sure, it improved a lot now with my job as a teacher, because in Austria we do have a lot of school holidays. And I am more free and flexible to prepare the classes and do everything for school whenever and wherever I want. I'm not really into this office job with this fixed working hours. So this really helps, because then you can just adapt and adjust your life around the jobs you have. And then basically, of course, in all the holidays we have, I'm working full time in my workshop. Yeah, but for sure, work-life balance is not really existing, and it's always, I mean, it's getting better, but I think this is a journey, and I guess also that everybody is facing the same problems regarding work-life balance. Because we have this saying in German that if you're self-employed, it's called selbstständig, so yourself and constantly, basically, it's the translation.
Yeah.
So if you're self-employed, you're working constantly by yourself. This is the saying, so it's true.
yeah.
But on the other hand, it also doesn't really always feel like work, because if you really enjoy doing what you're doing, then it's not, I wouldn't really call it work. And it's also, I think it's also good if you can actually make the most out of your time. You're not just sitting there because somebody tells you to be there from 8 till 6 p.m. But you have a day which has a certain amount of hours, and you're just trying to make the most out of it. And if you finish earlier, you're super happy, because then you have more free time, you know. And if you finish later, well, then it's not so good, but it's also kind of your own fault. So it's really like you can't blame anybody, and this is quite relieving, I think.
Yeah, I totally feel you.
It was fun because I was talking to friends the other day, and since all this corona pandemic thing, and we were supposed to be at home all the time, it actually felt a bit relieving because you had no social pressure, no events, no nothing, like the calendar was empty. And that was exactly how I remembered the UK, because there was nobody I knew, no birthday parties, no family parties. So it was basically just us being free to decide to do whatever we want, like basically super spontaneously. So that was that's pretty cool if you're completely there to live in the moment. Mm-hmm. And just like, we were far away enough to not be able to fly home for every wedding, every anniversary, whatever. So being on that island where you had to actually fly was quite good, because we could simply enjoy and explore. It was a big adventure, I see.
So what kind of decisions like led to the situation that you are in today?
I would say that it's not actually, it weren't actually decisions that led to where I'm today, but rather moments or opportunities, because I'd say that I'm a person that is really open to new adventures and like new experiences, and I simply say yes to whatever comes apart. I think the main thing is, if you see certain opportunities, then you just grab them or you just take them, and then whatever happens afterwards, it feels more like an opportunity that arises yeah, rather than a decision that you take. So if things don't go wrong or don't go the way you expected them to go, it's not actually a wrong decision you took, but rather an opportunity that didn't work out as expected, you know? So there's not as much pressure in it. And I would just say that I was lucky enough to see opportunities and take them.
There's this saying, trade expectation for appreciation. So having no expectations then, and just appreciate what's actually happening.
And I think also we have to learn how to see opportunities and recognize them, and because they are around us, no matter what you're doing, there's always so many people supporting or helping or offering help, and you just have to say yes. This is basically the only way to go.
Yeah,
never say no.
And I think that's a common theme throughout the people that we've interviewed so far. I mean, Claire was saying that, you know, her move to California was just through opportunity. I mean, it was something that she wanted to do, but just actually met someone, and then all of a sudden she was there. And so it's just about being in the moment. Whatever happens, just take it and go with it.
Exactly. And just let go of that image of this one path that is just like super clear and just like leads you from the beginning to the end, because it's actually, you can't really plan anything at all. Like whatever happens, you just have to adapt. And I think this is also what's so great about having a business or being self-employed, because it's an adventure. Every single day is an adventure, and you will never be able to tell what's going to happen the next day, you know? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be adventurous.
I think, isn't that one of your slogans for Zimzala, is about going with the flow?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Ride with the tides and flow with the snow.
Yeah, nice, nice. Thanks, Anna, for being on the show. As you know, every guest gets to give me and the listeners a dare. So what is it?
Yeah, thanks for having me. And since I'm in the creative business, I wanted to give you a creative dare. And I dare you to make an artwork in whatever technique you want and just put it out there wherever you want, but just like really show the people what you can do, because I have the feeling that, or I know for sure, that everybody's creative, everybody's so shy to just show it, and creativeness is the most important thing in life.
Okay, so I can paint or I can draw or...
Yeah, whatever technique you want.
I can't draw, but there's no such thing as can't, so let's go with it. Where can people find you and Zimzala? Can they buy any products?
Yeah, I do have a website. It's simsala.at with two Z, and also an Instagram channel, also simsala.at.
Thanks so much, Anna, for being on the show. I will see you soon, I hope.
Thanks for having me, Mel. Looking forward to more adventures with you.
So I've been thinking today about Anna's creative challenge, and I think I want to be a bit exploratory. At first I thought perhaps I could do some woodwork because I like doing some woodwork, but I want to explore something that I haven't really done before. And so I'm thinking just paint and canvas. And maybe do a mountain scene, maybe do my backyard, because it's something that I look at every day. And I think it would be nice to share with the world what it looks like. But I kind of want to put, we don't get epic sunsets here. And I think I want to put a little spin on it. And I want to have a bit of a pinky red sky. So like there was, you know, fire in the sky, and I want to make it a bit she-dares-y, but with the mountain scene. So that's kind of what I'm thinking right now. So I've had a rethink, and paint, just getting the right pinks and all the right colours and stuff, and the paintbrushes just feels like too much of a faff. And maybe I just take it back to basics, and I think doing it with pen and a bit of paper. I will give that a go. A little sketch of my backyard. So I'm outside just doing some initial test sketches just to get proportions right. And I have absolutely no idea what I've drawn. It looks like, I don't even know. I really don't even know. I'm just going to show it to my wife. What do you think?
Looks like a piece of corn.
I can actually see that potentially it looks like a corn. Well, that didn't work. That was quite hard. So I'm going to go with a pencil. I mean, all the designers use pencils at work, so it can't be that hard, right? Okay, I have a pencil now. My wife seems to think that that will make a big difference.
So tonight's the big reveal. Anna's coming round with some friends, and I'm going to show them my artwork.
Okay, guys, so this is the dare that Anna gave me for the podcast. And so I thought I would do something, you know, quite colourful, quite she-dares-y, and kind of easy. And then I thought, no, I'll go completely traditional because it's completely out of my comfort zone, and I'll just see how it goes. Tell me what you think.
Do you know what
Wow! No, it's super cool.
It's your back porch.
Yeah,
super cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
If you sit on the lounge and look, it was quite tricky.
You could just from sitting on the lounge and like,
yeah,
okay, that's cool.
Wow,
like,
super
got, like,
cool.
The angles like really, really,
really.
Bright.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Thanks so much for the challenge, Anna. It really made me think about taking things back to basics, and it really shows that no matter what you think you can't do, actually you can. You really surprise yourself. So many people have told me that I'm a terrible drawer, and I've told myself I'm a terrible drawer. I don't think I'm particularly creative, and I've created something that actually looks like my backyard view, and I'm pretty stoked with it. I don't think I'll be hanging it in my house anytime soon, but I might pick up the pencil once again.
Don't forget, 1 week after the episode goes live, I'll be posting an Instagram reel of how I got on with the dare. Go check it out and challenge yourself to join me in the next ones. Shortly after the show was recorded, the floods hit Europe, and unfortunately Anna's studio with all her stock in Helline was washed away. We've set up a GoFundMe page to help her get back on her feet and keep the dream of Simsala going. If everyone listening could support her with just €1, it would already make such a difference. You can donate by going to our Instagram profile, and there's a link on there directly, and you'll also find it in the show notes of her episode. Thanks so much for listening and supporting the sisterhood.